is a big idea, a new world order.
Your world is not what it seems. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is July 7th, 2009. I'm your host, Alex Ansari, and I'm looking forward to today's show for a number of reasons. A man by the name of Lennon Honor is going to be with us, and his perspective of the nature of reality, mind control, subliminals, even the destruction of the feminine, I mean, he's going into stuff I haven't heard other people allude to or talk about, not that many. Other than myself, David Icke's got into a lot of the issues that he's going to go into, but a lot of his research, I've been taking a look at his YouTube channel. I mean, it's fairly expansive, and it's a lot of original material, information investigations that he's looked at over the years, and he's still looking at this stuff, and that's kind of how this stuff works, this awakening that's taking place around the globe. New information gets introduced into the matrix. It's kind of like what they call the 100th monkey syndrome, where one part of the species learns something new that previously nobody knew anything about. And this is one of the ways that I look at the awareness of mind control, the awareness of subliminals, and in my own journey as a man, as a human, it shocks me to my very core. In fact, at times it's traumatizing. That's why it's important to be somewhat emotionally balanced, detached from some of this stuff. But it's a lot to see how susceptible people's minds are and how comfortable they are being someone who they really aren't. But in the end, it gets everybody. And we all know there's a reason why there's so many drunks and drug addicts and social problems in our society. It's the imbalance. And so if we're supposed to move ahead and be the people that we're truly supposed to be, we have to deal with those issues. So he'll be with us in a couple minutes in the next segment. I want to remind you that it is July 7th, and they are preparing for a triple eclipse. They are talking about a triple eclipse. July 7th, July 22nd, and there's going to be another one in August, and that will be on the 2nd, I believe. And they say it's not going to happen for another 105 years, a triple eclipse in the, you know, this short span of time. So this is historic in one way or another. A couple other headlines that are in the news, you can check these out over at my friend Doug's website, who runs Oracle, and that website is blacklistednews.com. A couple new headlines went up today. Big banks don't want California IOUs, a group of the biggest U.S. banks, said they would stop accepting California's IOUs on Friday, admitting pressure on the state to close its $26.3 billion annual budget gap. Here's another one. Computers may soon be able to read thoughts. It's nothing new here, but it is an update. Sounds like something from a science fiction movie, only this isn't science fiction. Sensors are surgically inserted into the brain to understand what you're thinking. Machines that can speak, move, or process information based on the fleeting thoughts of a person's imagination. Also, NSA is going to be spending about $1.8 billion on a new data center. And you can read more also at roguegovernment.com. We'll be back in a few, my friends. I'm Alex Ansari. This is Outside the Box. And Lennon Honor from LennonRfilms.com will be with us shortly.
Radio.
All right, real quick, I want to let you know about SurvivalCenter.com. If you want to get prepared for the things that you know already are to come, dehydrated food, stored food, grains, things of that nature, you can find that at SurvivalCenter.com. Order toll-free 1-800-321-2900. You want to talk about water filters and basically one-stop shopping for a whole lot of things. And I'm looking at their catalog now. Richard sent it to me, and it's a very detailed catalog from grains, beans, seeds, long-term storage to buckets to MREs to even some of the tops you put on the buckets to make sure the air doesn't get out, allowing the food to spoil, water filtration systems, all that and a whole lot more. I'll be talking about SurvivalCenter.com in the near future. In fact, I'm going to be taking a trip up to Olympia, Washington, and we'll show you exactly what he has. A lot of books. I mean, he's got stuff on canning, gardening, I mean, basically how to fix just about anything, alternative energy books, books on how to build things from underground shelters to all types of other things, even tree houses. I mean, it's definitely, it looks like he's got about 20 cookbooks here. So that is Richard's business, SurvivalCenter.com, and we'd like to thank him for being one of the very first sponsors of the show. Now, in terms of today's guest, Lyndon Honor was born in San Diego, California. As a child, he began his studies in music, and he became a professional musician at the age of 16. He went on to study music with world-renowned flutist and composer James Newton at the University of California. As a musician, he has produced about 3 albums of music and has performed in the U.S. and abroad. At age 33, Lennon has continued his creative efforts via film production and has produced 4 major documentaries to date. Film topics range from spirituality, religion, subliminal manipulation, the occult, politics, the entertainment industry, and we'll talk about that today, how that connects with the subliminal manipulation. This is just a small sample of a lot of the stuff he gets into. And I looked at his YouTube channel, and it's like, I would rather have him for 4 hours instead of 2 today, because in his own way, he gets very, very deep. Through extensive research and a great deal of analysis, Lennon Honor has exposed many covert aspects of the world that we live in. All of his films are available for viewing at his website, LennonHonorFilms.com. And as I said earlier, he also has a YouTube channel. Hello, thanks for coming on, sir. Hello, Lennon.
Hey, how's it going? Is this Alex?
Yeah, this is Alex.
Wow, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, I have known about you for about 6 months, and then I came across you last month and then saw some of your YouTubes again, and The Workings of Evil, your description of the destruction of the feminine. You know, very interesting stuff, sir, because I don't see a whole lot of other people, I guess, in the conspiratorial movement, I guess if you'd call it that, research into the occult, going that deep. So I guess I want to learn more about you, how your story began, how you got into all this.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, doing film production is a more recent phenomenon in my life. Let me just say, though, before I get started, because I just on a personal level, you may have known me for just a few months, but I've known of you for about 4 years.
Oh, really?
So I have, I just wanted to share this quick story before, you know, we really get into it. Is I would say probably about maybe 4 years, close to 5 years ago, my wife, she ran across your radio show. And this is when you first were getting started. I think it was Inside the Box or Out of the Box.
Yeah, I started with the Access TV show here in Portland, which I'm still doing, and then I started doing the online stuff in 06.
Yeah, so I can't remember the exact year, but it was probably about 4 years ago, may have been 3 years ago, but she said, you know, you need to come listen to this guy, and I was like, who is it? She's like, his name's Alex, you know? So I at that time, I hadn't come into a level of consciousness, not even close to where I'm at now or where I hope to be, you know, 10 years from now. So when I, you know, at that time, you were really important in terms of me really getting into like research and different topics that I had never even considered. A lot of topics you were talking about at that time I hadn't even heard of. So it's just amazing how for me, when I got into doing films, it was something that I just kind of got into, and I'll explain why exactly. But it's amazing how you can do something that you never thought you would be able to do, and then when you do it, it can have influence on people's lives in positive ways, and then you may even end up being on someone's radio show who really helped you to get started in the first place. You know, so that's really amazing. And I just want to share that story before I before we actually got into my film work.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I tend to forget how interesting, through synchronicity, this world really is, this universe, and the way I've found information, been inspired by others, and how it's become this organic sharing of information that is not our own personal possession. It's just out there, and we're tapping into it. We're sharing it. We're trying to learn how to articulate it. We're bringing it back to our tribe, our people. We're all able to look at it through this and now online world, which is where you found me and I found some other people. Through this technology, we're doing something amazing with it. And where it's going to go from here, I don't know. But looking at your stuff, I mean, you're going into issues that kind of excite me a little bit, because I'm like, oh, he's looking at it from this angle. You're bringing your perspective to it. And it's something that a lot of people are starting to wake up to right now, though. These are interesting times.
Yeah, they definitely are. And I've been doing film production. I think I uploaded my first film onto YouTube September of last year. And when I did that, I didn't think anyone would even care about the film. But, you know, then I uploaded. That was What Lies in Plain Sight. It was a analysis of Michael Jackson's Beat It. But what has happened is, beyond my wildest, dreams, like just in terms of the reaction that I've got from people and the support that I've got, from different people who've actually viewed the films. Like, it's just been an amazing experience so far. So I've been doing it since about September. And the way that I got in, because I just want to answer the question that you raised initially, the way that I got into actually doing film production, I was basically raised as a musician, and from an early age, I was performed as a musician and studied music since I was like maybe in the fourth grade. And what has happened over time was, after having a family, I'd realized that, in terms of being a musician and running around trying to scramble around for gigs and, trying to find work, it was a hassle and it was a hustle, and it also detracted from certain family responsibilities that I had. So at a certain point, I had to come to a decision about, how I'm going to be able to proceed from that point. And what has happened is, because I've always been a creative person, I've always been a person to ask questions. I think that's the main thing, that as children, we always ask questions, and as children, we're very creative. But there's systems in place that really strip away those types of things in us. And so I've managed to kind of hold on to those things, and then the need to create, and whatever that may be, whether it's a film, whether it's music, whether it's children, whether it's a book or a radio show, whatever it may be, the need to create is very strong in me. So what has happened is, after I stopped, performing as a musician, I needed to find some venue to kind of share, certain kinds of creative ideas that I have, and then also just to share my thoughts and information.
Well, let me mention your website real quick before we go to the break. We have a few of them an hour. LennonHonorFilms.com. That is his website. Go ahead and bookmark it. There's a lot of information there.
Pull back the curtain to expose the matrix on Axiom Radio with Rob Chowder and Joel Nissen. Weekdays at 7 p.m. on the one and only Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Quick, we got to go back to Lennon, but I want to thank Ron Cameron for bringing him to my attention when I said, hey, make some guest suggestions. If there's certain people you want to hear on the show, send it in to alex_ansari@hotmail.com, and you can do that today if there's another person out there you think should be on this show. Going back to Lennon, he was cut off during the break, about your interest in video filmmaking, getting into it, and then leading up to the workings of evil.
Yes. And part of what I do, well, the main thing I do is really just deals with the analysis of videos, music, and an analysis of the subliminal implications of videos and music. Because most people, we have been indoctrinated into a system, and really the education system really causes us to think on certain levels that are really devolved in terms of what we have a capacity to think on. And so when I started to actually get into video analysis, one of the reasons why I really got into it was because my wife and I, we would get videos for our children to watch at home. And we would go down to the library and pick selected videos, and we don't let our children watch broadcast television. So we would bring videos home, but we would always screen them beforehand, and if anything in there was inappropriate for our children to watch, we just won't let our children watch. We'd take it back out to the library. We happened to run across a film, it was a Disney film called Angels in the Outfield, and we watched maybe about 10, 15 minutes of it. And after that 10, 15 minutes, my wife and I, we looked at each other and we were like, there is absolutely no way that we're going to let our children sit here and watch. This is very inappropriate. And there were so many subliminal messages, especially had to do with like sexual innuendos. And also a lot of what I call like the pedophilic projection of a child as an adult, the subliminal manipulation of children's consciousness into accepting pedophilia, and also for adults to accept pedophilia. There's a great degree of subliminal manipulation that goes into that, especially in Disney films. So after we took that video back to the library, I told my wife, at some point I want to actually take some time and really do some in-depth analysis about different movies and how they influence us on a subconscious level and how that is a form of manipulation. So when people talk about the New World Order, there's many different facets of the New World Order in terms of how it maintains its dominion on Earth. And one of the subtle forms in terms of its power has to do with the subliminal manipulation of human consciousness. So what happened was after that, I took that movie back to the library, and my wife ran across a Rihanna video called Umbrella. And this was maybe about a little bit over a year ago, and she ran across it on YouTube. And she said, you need to come look at this, because by that time I was thinking more in terms of analysis. And right away when I took a look at it, I knew that there was much more going on inside that video and song. So what I did was I did an in-depth analysis over a month, maybe 6 months time period, and I did research and analysis into the different types of subliminal messages in that film, and that ended up becoming one of the, I guess you can say, one of my more popular films called The Workings of the Evil.
Someone in the chat room didn't hear the website, lenonhonorfilms.com, and perhaps I should spell that out, lenonhonorfilms.com. Disney's an interesting... Yes?
Actually, it's Lennon Honor. LENONHONORFILMS.com. So Lennon is LENON.
Okay. And Disney's quite the subject there. And I've seen a lot of that stuff, too, whether you have the Little Mermaid with the phallic symbolism, very literal and in your face, and a lot of other stuff. I don't know. I just kind of want to hear you kind of describe some of the stuff. And am I also kind of interested in where Michael Jackson is going to come into this as well, because that's also something I've also wondered about quite a bit, as well as why hip-hop has been so deliberately violent over the years, and the gang culture, rise of that, and the influence that comes from the Dr. Dre's and Snoop Dogg's of the world.
Yeah, and that was all on what people call predictive program, because the reality of what was being projected through certain types of music, you know, especially when it dealt with gang culture, was not really representative of the African American experience as a whole. There was a select group of people who may have had those types of, but what has happened is through manipulation of people's consciousness, you have more people who participated in certain kinds of activities because they were manipulated on a subconscious level. They actually accepted a gang culture reality, not because it was the reality, but because they saw it really glorified on television and in different movies and so forth, and in rap music and so forth. But getting back to Disney, I actually did what I consider to be a major work. It's called The Magic of Disney, The Early Works of Walt Disney, The Foundations of a Pedophilic Institution. And what I did was I went back to his first popular work, the works that he produced that really kind of got him started, where he started to get notoriety. And what I found was that this was like in the 1920s, the mid-1920s, and he created a film series called The Alice Series. And The Alice Series is about this little girl. And what he did was he took this little girl and he superimposed cartoon graphics and her interactions with these different cartoon figures. What I found, though, was through my analysis of these different videos, because there's quite a few in the series, was that it wasn't really about entertaining children. It really wasn't for children. It was really constructed on a pedophilic level. It was a form of pedophilic manipulation of human consciousness, because many of the themes that are promoted inside those early works dealt with projecting the child as an adult and then sexualizing the child and then put it in a form of entertainment. So people would go to the theater, they would watch it on television, and they're laughing at the different images that they see and the different interactions that he's having with these different animals and so forth. They're laughing at it, but while they're laughing at it, on a subconscious level, they're being manipulated, because what they're laughing at is actually the promotion of pedophilia. So Disney as an institution, what I found is, because most people have this misconception that Disney is like the bastion for like family values and morality and, you know, ethics and so forth, but in reality it's the exact opposite. If people really took the time to look at Disney movies and did analysis and just the general themes, what you will find is a lot of pedophilic content, but you also see a lot of references to demonic entities, a lot of references to the occult in a negative way, a lot of references to dark magic and so forth. All these things are encoded inside each and every Disney film. There's so many different general themes that Disney uses in across time. Another thing I should mention too, when I say Disney, I'm talking about as an institution. Walt Disney had a part to play, but he was more of a figurehead more so than anything else. He wasn't really the creative genius behind that. There was many other forces that were involved with that. So I have a film about Disney called The Magic of Disney, the early works of Walt Disney, The Foundation of a Pedophilic Institution. That's on my website. And then I also have two films on Angels in the Outfield. The first one's called Demons in the Outfield, Pedophilic Baseball, and the second one is called Demons in the Outfield, Pedophilic Baseball Revisited, and that's just a breakdown of the Angels in the Outfield, because after a few months, I went back to that original movie that I saw called Angels in the Outfield, and by that time, I had gotten so far into, you know, understanding how to analyze films that I felt like I should go back to the film that really kind of got me motivated to do it in the first place, and I do an analysis of that film, and then an analysis of the main character in that film, a follow-up film that he did more recently, and showed the correlations between the two. Because it's interesting, one of the things that people don't realize is that even within the actors that play certain roles, there's a storyline that goes along with it. Most people think that when you watch the beginning credits of a movie and then you watch the ending credits of the movie, then that's it and that's the end of the story. But the reality is that the manipulation is so great that they take actors and they play roles, and even within each role in each movie, there's a broader story that's being told through an archetype. And so what I do is I break down that archetypal system and how different actors are used to play certain roles, and that there's a greater subliminal effect on people's consciousness when they realize how, when they're not aware of the fact that by following a certain artist or following a certain actor, being manipulated over time, not by just one movie, but many, many movies.
Exactly. We'll hear more after the break. That was actually where I was going to go next. What's the script? What's the plan? What do they want us focused on? What is the overall manipulation really coming down to? More with our guest in just a few.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Additional uniformed men and women set to be trained by 2011. They'll serve as a response to a possible mass terror attack or civil unrest following an economic collapse. So how concerned are Americans about this?
20,000 more troops here in the U.S.?
I've not heard any of that, actually. No, I have not. It's the first time I've heard of it. It doesn't seem right to have the military guarding the interior of the country. It seems like a dangerous power grab.
I think that would be extremely unreasonable.
Policing your own people sounds like we're in Afghanistan or something.
Most Americans are hoping that the men and women in uniform will not confuse their responsibilities with that.
All right, going back to Lennon. Please continue, sir. You're talking about the overall script, you know, how people in Hollywood and music today compartmentalized, sometimes with a certain element in the script put in, certain lyrics, certain images.
Yeah, and these images really I guess the best way to describe it, it's a program. And one of the things that I think is important for people to really begin to think about, and really your work really helped me and when I first got started, just in terms of, you know, trying to come into consciousness, and with that's an ongoing process, was how easily we have been, well, I shouldn't say easily, how much we have been programmed throughout time. And if we even go back to our childhood, there were certain things that imprinted in our minds through, you know, our experiences, through our parents, even through the education system, that really has functioned as a program. And by being programmed, when we talk about being creative, it's difficult. The more programmed the person is, the more difficult it is for them to actually function as a creative being. And so what I found just in terms of you know, with the different levels of subliminal manipulation is it functions as a program to the human being. And if you can program a person's mind to accept, say, pedophilia as entertainment, then that holds profound repercussions in terms of how they're going to be able to live out their lives, how their children are going to be able to live out their lives. If you can program a person's mind to accept a certain kind of ideology, whether it's, I don't know, an example we can use, because you spoke on it earlier, was gang culture. If you can program a person who wasn't even affiliated with gang culture, you can program them to accept gang culture as their own, then that has profound repercussions in terms of how they're going to be able to live their lives creatively and the lives of their children. And so when we talk about, like, the different levels of agendas that are perpetuated on planet Earth, one of the things that has to happen in order for these agendas to continue to persist is you have to program the population to such a degree that they will not even be able to begin to think for themselves any longer. Not only will they not think for themselves, but they cannot even think creatively. So then when a situation comes up, you know, say for instance, we can look at like 9-1-1, 2001, you can program a population to such a degree when something like that happens, they won't even ask critical questions. They would just accept the so-called, you know, the official story. They'll accept it without critical thinking. And part of the reason why they accept it is because they're running a program. Without the program, I truly believe that human beings have a natural tendency to be curious and to ask critical questions. And most people, when an instance, you know, for instance, 911 went down, most people weren't able to ask critical questions because the degree of programming had already been in place. And not just from birth, but also from, you know, media, what was being transmitted in the media prior to 2001 and, you know, it was almost like a campaign to put Osama bin Laden's name out into the airways for people to be programmed with the possibility. And then when the event happens, they blame him for it, and people don't even ask critical questions on whether or not that was true. And then, as of course, like for those of us who actually have done research and looked into this, we realize that he had absolutely nothing to do with it. That there was more forces involved than, you know, a couple of hijackers with box cutters. I mean, even that storyline, it's so deep, because when I think about the official storyline of 911, I think about it now, it just sounds ridiculous. You know, it sounds so ridiculous, but people will accept something that is ridiculous because to them it seems like the same thing that they watch on television, the entertainment. We've been so programmed to accept entertainment as reality, to accept entertainment as truth, that even when the most fanciful story is projected to us as truth because it sounds like entertainment, I mean, as a form of entertainment, but because it sounds like something that we've seen on television before, we'll accept it without critical thought or critical thinking. And so part of what, you know, when we talk about the agendas that are perpetuated on the planet, one of the major thrusts is that you have to get the general population to give up their critical thinking and have them submit their consciousness to subliminal manipulation, submit their consciousness to the ideals of those who seek to control the population. And as long as you can control people's minds and you can tell them any old fanciful story that you want them to believe, and they will not only believe you, but they will also accept that reality and let that reality play out into their own life. So an example of that, again, would be with the whole gang culture, with what happened with, you know, rap music at a certain point. It, you know, especially like here on the West Coast, it became something that was really about the defilement of women. It became something about the projection of gang culture as being something to aspire to. And all that is a program, and it has profound ramifications on human life on the planet, and in particular for African Americans who have been subjected to that level of programming.
And another example for programming, level programming that a lot of people got, my generation when they were young, is, yeah, fear of terrorists. Delta Force, Chuck Norris, you know, all this stuff. And then where are we today? 9/11, they're all ready to go. And then professional wrestling, degradation of women, it's all built into the plot now. Domestic violence. I did a little video on this on my show a couple months ago. Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, and when we talk about the programming that we got as children, I think we're near the same age. I'm 33 now. One of the shows that was one of my favorite shows was G.I. Joe. And if you look at the introduction to G.I. Joe, when they talk about Cobra Commander, i.e., of Osama bin Laden, they say it's a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world. That's the same verbiage that they use when they propagandize this idea that Osama bin Laden had something to do with 9-1-1, right? So we already had we were already pre-programmed with that from childhood to accept that, and it was put in a form of entertainment. But then later on, when the story is presented to us, even as fanciful as it seems, and we can reflect now when we look at 9-1-1, that makes absolutely no sense. But because of our programming, we were able to accept it. And at the time, I asked very few questions because, you know, my programming was deep. So I didn't really start to ask critical questions. But then later on, when I came into a certain awareness, I reflected back on my childhood and I realized that G.I. Joe was nothing more than the programming for what took place in 9-1-1-2001 in terms of people accepting this pseudo reality that Osama bin Laden had something to do with it.
Exactly. I guess they have a new G.I. Joe movie coming out too. But it's no surprise why Transformers is out now and Terminator 4 is out now. Robotic Army promotion stuff. Right on cue with the articles. It's time for Robotic Army.
Yes. And my next film is called The Borg Agenda, 7 of 9, The Sexualization of Technology. And that deals with that same issue, how there is, in fact, an agenda to dehumanize human beings and to humanize robots, to where robots are going to be are projected to be the means through which human beings are to experience their humanity, that we have to embrace technology to such a level that we have to submit to it's interesting, even like this idea of the RFID chip. Well, it's technology. It's microchipping of the population, and that's relevant because if you can have an emotional response to Transformers, when a Transformer so supposedly dies. Matter of fact, let me just tell a story. I used to watch Transformers when I was a child. I'm talking about the cartoon. And when the movie came out, I was like, wow, this movie's coming out. Movie comes out, and in the movie, Optimus Prime, the leader, this is back in the 80s, like mid-80s, Optimus Prime, the leader, he dies in the film. And I recall that as a child, when I saw him die, I began to cry, right? And when I think about it now, just like, how ridiculous is that for me to cry over first of all, it's not even reality. It's on television and it's a cartoon, but then I'm crying over a robot. So if you can humanize a robot, then you can, and you project that program into people's subconscious mind as children, then later on we talk about the RFID chip. For people, it's like people will be more willing to accept the RFID chip because the technology has already been humanized. And that's precisely what, you know, these different movies that have been coming out, Terminator and so forth, where it's really humanization of these robots. But part of that agenda speaks to human beings sympathizing with technology to the point where they relinquish their humanness and accept technology in place of that. And one of the main issues that I'm going to be addressing in my next film, it should premiere later on this month, is this notion that we have been indoctrinated on a subconscious level to think that it is only through technology that we are to experience our humanness. And that's deep. Where did we get to the point where we have to feel that we have to, the only way that we can figure out who we are as human beings is to submit ourselves to technology, and the submission to technology falls right in line to a major agenda, which is the RFID chip in terms of the controlling of the manipulation of human beings on a global level when we talk about one world or a new world order.
Absolutely. We have a break coming up here in about 30 seconds. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about the deliberate destruction or manipulation or warping of the goddess or the feminine, and also the men as well. We already touched upon that with movies, but definitely, you know, you got to destroy that protective nature if you want to get men to be predators for a big banker's war. And the same thing goes for women. You got to take away that loving, compassionate nature for the women to go along with this nonsense. They're trying to drive the men to another war, to another invasion of a country, and have the women say, they're going to protect us. No, they're not. I mean, there's so much is involved here. We'll talk to Lennon Honor in just a little bit about these very, very important issues. And in the next hour, we'll take your phone calls.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
The Animal Farm Radio Show.
Now they're bleaching bread to look like multigrain, so you have to brown.
Get your ugly white ass out.
Weeknights from 5 to 7 p.m. Central. Your cash, your house, your phone, your life, your cash, your house. We want your soul.
It really is time when all of us have got to start talking louder than ever.
We want your soul.
The engineered implosion of the economy.
The rapid speed of, if you like, globalization.
And now they're going to leave us holding the entire bag, not to bail them out, but to get us into greater debt.
This manipulation now, quite blatant, of the financial markets is taking us in that direction of a world government, world army, world central bank, world currency, world microchip population.
Take credit, take insurance, take a loan, get a job, get a pension.
But at the core of all that, the imbalance, balanced energy of the masculine and the feminine, men and women being divided, fighting in competition mode, animal mode, not a high spiritual way of living. It's the opposite in many cases in this urban jungle that we live in. Going back to our guest, so how do you analyze this? How'd you like to start with this explanation of how they have warped both men and women in so many ways, or at least are attempting to create, intensify that imbalance and confusion as to who we are, where we are, what we are?
Yes, and that is the most important question that anyone can ask in terms of dealing with what people have termed the New World Order. I always think about my own childhood, and you know, when I reflect back, I realize that there was, you know, part of the trauma there in terms of my mother and father and how they interacted. It's relevant in terms of how my wife and I have chosen to do the opposite. And I can give you an example. My wife and I, we do not argue at all. We don't spend time arguing or fussing. We don't use curse words with each other. We speak kindly, and if we don't agree, it's no big deal. We have a family to raise. We have four children. We don't have time to be fussing and fighting. One of the things that has been perpetuated, against the human species is a level of division between men and women, to where women look upon men as predators and men look upon women as the enemy. And there has been an agenda to perpetuate that type of idealism. And the reality is that when we talk about balance and we talk about family structure and the perpetuation of information being passed from one generation to the next, information that is relevant in terms of overcoming collectively as a human species, overcoming the New World Order, this information is directly tied into the relationships that men and women are able to have, and then to create family structures and children and pass information down generations upon generations. The greatest threat to all things evil, and if you guys want to get to metaphysics, the greatest threat to all things evil is family structures, whole loving family structures, where children are given the best that they the best that they can be given in terms of spiritual information, loving information, information that will allow them to transcend the different levels of manipulation on planet Earth. The family structure is the primary force that we have in terms of creating the type of reality that we want on Earth. So therefore, if you can break up those types of family structure, well, what better way to do that than to set men against women and women against men? And so what we find in media, what we find in the entertainment industry, you can look at music, you can look at film, you can look at, especially in Disney, you can look at all, you see this disparity in terms of the relationship between men and women, to where at all, it just almost seems like what is being promoted as reality to the general population is that men and women are supposed to be at odds with each other. But the reality is that that is the exact opposite. We are supposed to be in harmony with each other, and we are supposed to be working towards a goal that is more important than you or I. It is more important than my wife and myself. We are working to try to create something for our children so they can be given circumstances in their life that will allow them to experience the best that life has to offer. But when you have music that defiles women, right, and then you have men who are singing these things and they are functioning as the role models for other young males, and then you have absentee fathers in the home and so forth. All these different factors play a role in terms of the next generation receiving or not receiving the information that they need to function within a relationship with the woman. And this is why it's so important. Like, this is probably one of the most important topics that people can discuss, because most people think that in order to deal with the New World Order, it has to be some kind of physical confrontation that has to go down. But the reality is it has more to do with the relationships that we establish amongst each other as human beings, loving and caring relationships, and passing along higher levels of information to the next generation so they can build upon that information and they can pass it down to the next generation. And what I always think of, and I've used this before, this type of idea before, if my father was able to come into manhood instead of being a crackhead, and he was able to infuse his wisdom into me, and then I was able to build on top of that information and then take it steps further and then pass it on to my son, and then my son was able to do the same, and generations down the line, there is no way that this structure called the New World Order would be able to perpetuate, because what you would find is that through family structures, you have the dissemination of information that is far more profound with each next generation. Each generation that is born, the information that is passed on is far more profound than any kind of New World Order ideology. And so this is all to say that part of the reason why you see perpetuated in media and so forth, you see the feminization of men and the masculinization, because it sets us against our nature as a man and nature as women. As soon as you get that imbalance begins to play itself out in the relationships amongst each other. So, yes, in fact, we do have to look at the manipulation of our relationships as men and women, and you will find that in the entertainment industry and movies and so forth, there has been a significant agenda to set men against women and women against men.
I don't get in the practice of judging homosexuality or people's sexual practice. However, I have a few concerns here, sir. It definitely seems that there is a promotion of a certain type of behavior in our world today, and a lot of us are starting to wake up to this, to where heterosexuality is out, man. And we ain't the cool kids anymore. I want to get your thoughts on all these movies, all these sitcoms. I mean, I'm trying to figure out, is it something in the water? I mean, everybody's turning up here, it seems, in Portland. I mean, anyway, I try to understand what's going on. I mean, I know there's multiple reasons for why someone might become that, but I think the great imbalance of men and women might drives a lot of people to their own sex because they think that they can't with the other one. Or they've been that's one factor, not all, but go ahead.
Yes, but that is a significant factor. We've been so programmed that when people start to talk about this issue, people get all uptight. You know, and that's when you know that it's a real issue, when people get uptight. Like, why can I not say that there has been a covert agenda to feminize men? You know, why can I say that without, you know, someone who may be homosexual or someone who is defensive of homosexuals getting defensive about it? Even though I'm not talking about homosexuals per se, I'm talking about an agenda. And the reason why that's relevant is because if you came to this planet to experience a homosexual reality, then so be it. But if you came to experience a homosexuality and then you were manipulated through various means to come into heterosexuality, then you need to deal with that manipulation, because there's something wrong with that. Now, if you manifested into this world, you chose to have a heterosexual experience, but then you were manipulated by various forces on a subconscious level through media, music, and so forth to become a homosexual, then you have been indeed manipulated. So you have to look at that, right? So, but in looking at that, you should be able to deal with those issues without having to feel like someone's going to jump down your throat about it. Like, oh no, you shouldn't be talking about that. There has been, in fact, an agenda to feminize men and to masculinize women. And if you look at popular culture on planet Earth, what I call bore culture, you see a complete flip of just certain gender roles. Now, gender roles are relevant. See, it's even got to the point when you say gender roles, people be like, no, you shouldn't even be talking about it. I should be able to be how. Well, that's fine. People can live. If you want to be a homosexual, that's fine. If you want to be heterosexual, that's your business. If you want to have sex with animals, that's your business. The point is, in terms of family structures, gender roles are significant. That is to say that if, in fact, my wife and I had a child, we have four now, and I said, no, baby, you go ahead and you go work, and I'll stay home and I'll deal with the children. Well, how am I going to feed the baby? Well, no, don't worry about it. Go ahead and give the baby Similac. Or just go ahead and give him some cow's milk with hormones. And, like, there's so many different levels that we have to look at. And then we also have to look at the fact that young males, and I'll just use this as an example, within the so-called African-American community, there's so many of us who grew up without fathers. My father was in the home for just a little while. But then when he left, it was like a total, you know, it was just total chaos. It was chaos while he was there. And then when he left, it was total chaos. What I realized is that, I don't know, I always reflect back, what if my father was able to function as a man and to deal with his gender roles within the context of his family? What type of an effect would that have had on me and on my brothers and sisters, on my mom and so forth? And the reality is that those gender roles are significant in terms of raising families. What we find is that there is an agenda to feminize men, and there is, in fact, a homosexual agenda to manipulate people's consciousness who were once heterosexual to become homosexual. It's not about whether or not someone sleeps with this or that. That's not even the point. The point is, why did you manifest here, and how have you been manipulated to become homosexual? How have you been manipulated to become heterosexual? That's the real issue.
Leonard honors our guest. We'll be back with him in hour two in just a few. Very interesting information, a perspective vital for your survival in the new millennium. This is about waking up to what's really going on.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
I know that for many in the audience, they resonate with what Lennon said about the men not being there, and not just so-called African-American communities, but others, and like my own. And my parents came from two different cultures, which I call operating systems, like a computer. They're looking at reality through the lens of what they've been told to believe in, religion, culture, what's right, what's wrong, all that. Afghan dad, Afghanistan, white woman, okay, era of time, late 70s, early 80s. I pop out, they split apart, warring with another, dark feminine energy from my mom, dark masculine energy from my dad, out of balance, anger, hatred on both sides. And when you see that, you can recognize that as I did when I was young, before I got into politics, I'm like, my parents are brainwashed by something. They are messed up, be it demon, be it this. They weren't drunks or drug addicts, but they got some problems. You know, I'm telling myself. It's good to be able to recognize it so you don't follow in the same footsteps. Now, for a lot of kids, though, in that situation, they run to the TV for answers. Okay, say, mom's messed up, dad's messed up. The TV got to show me what's going on. But that's not really how this works. Now, I was able to start seeing a lot of messages in TVs and questioning some of the stuff I was watching. So when I was old enough to start reading books, it made sense at an early enough age. But going back to Lennon, what you're saying makes a lot of sense to me, and I'm sure a lot of people in the audience, because a lot of us never learn the right things from our parents that have been stuck in the same loophole of mind control for some period of time already. It's just getting worse now.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And, I can give an example. I have love for my mom because she basically raised six children by herself. However, within that love, I also recognize this in terms of her own manipulation, and she is, in fact, mind-controlled to a great degree. We all are to different degrees. We are all trying to break, certain kinds of programming. What we're finding, though, now is that there has been on the planet, more and more people are waking up to certain realities. And as that takes place, we're able to influence, the the next generation in positive ways. And an example I can give is my father, you know, he was abusive to my mom. He, you know, beat my mom and he treated her, you know, like trash, you know, and they would argue all the time, all these different things. But in seeing that as a child like you were able to do, I've used that as motivation and as information on how not to be. And all of the imbalance that was there, I was able to think about that critically over time as opposed to accepting it as a program. And to think about it over time, so where now me and my wife, if you come over, Alex, if you came up to our house and you walk into our house, we may not have much materially, but you would feel the love energy. Why when you walk inside the house, there are people who come over here and the first thing they want to do is sit down and they want to fall asleep. And you say, why are you, oh, I'm just so comfortable here. Well, it's not because we have nice things, it's because the energy that we were able to create. Now, the only reason why that was able to manifest was because my wife was able to break her programming and I was able to break my programming in terms of the relationships between men and women. We were able to transcend that. Now, this is directly relevant in terms of the television, because everything that the television tells people is a program, and it is, and none of the program is positive in terms of the evolution of human consciousness. It functions to actually diminish our ability to experience love on this plane. It really functions to manipulate consciousness to such a degree that what manifests inside people's lives is contradictory to what they probably wanted in the first place.
Totally contradictory. Not to cut you off, but that's a short little break there, top of the hour break. We'll come back, we can go ahead and continue with what you're saying, and also get into spirituality, the concept of a almighty creator above the what I might call the false gods. And so we'll also get into that too, spirituality, religion, belief systems, deities, mythological figures, and then the reality. Back in a few with Leonard Honor.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Well, if anyone out there is listening that would like to pick up the phone and talk to Lennon, the number is 866-841-1065. We can take some questions. Go ahead, Lennon, with what you're saying, and then I want to get back to Michael Jackson briefly just to get a closer view of what people have been looking at for some time. Obviously, the man has passed away recently, and for whatever reason, there's mysteries around that, but that's another conversation. But yeah, it's interesting to see the cult of personality. People are more concerned about that and him and the music as opposed to the people that are dying in the Middle East. And I'm just trying to work out in my head how a cult of personality can literally be so charismatic that nothing else matters but that person and their world. These people aren't even living. They're not even living their own world. They're living his world.
Yes, and that is programming. That's all that comes down to. I have no, and I will teach my son this as well, that as a man, I have no idol. I don't. You know, I respect certain people. I respect you, Ansari. I mean, I know we haven't had a conversation before, but in terms of, you know, when I first started to come into a level of meaningful consciousness, you had a profound impact on me. So I can say that I respect you, but I don't see you as an idol. And I don't think that any man should see anyone else as an idol. Matter of fact, I don't think any woman should, you know, be quite honest with you. And one of the things that was interesting, you know, that I found, because, you know, earlier we were talking about there has indeed been an agenda to feminize men. One of my first film that I uploaded was called What Lies in Plain Sight, and it was a breakdown of Michael Jackson's Beat It video. And in the Beat It video, what we find is a subliminal manipulation of sexual consciousness, and in particular, children's sexual consciousness. When that song came out, even though adults were listening to it, with a lot of children. So we're talking about, you know, 25 years of people listening to that song. And what I found was that Beat It didn't mean it have anything to do with gang violence or running away, which is the, you know, the official, you know, kind of, you know, perspective. perspective on what the song was about, but oftentimes what's official isn't truth. What I found was that beat was actually a reference to masturbation. And if you put that in context with what's going on inside,
oh, dear.
It's about homosexual group masturbation. So here we have children, myself included, singing beat it, beat it, beat it. And what I'm really saying is masturbate, masturbate, masturbate. If you look at the actual video footage, it's about all of these men who get together and beat it, beat it, beat it. So this is what I mean by, for the last 25 years, I have been singing that song, and people all over the world have been singing that song, and we have been, on a subconscious level, singing a song about male group homosexual masturbation. And that's what I mean by the level of manipulation, and a lot of people who were listening to it were children. So that has deeper...
So what do they say with these lyrics? If you want to stay alive, just beat it. Are they, is it getting even weirder with the lyrics here? Well, it sounds like it is then.
It would take a great deal of analysis just over the phone, but people can check it out. What Lies in Plain Sight? That was the first one that I did in terms of uploading onto YouTube. So when we talk about Michael Jackson, really, what's done with these occult figures is really about manipulation of consciousness. All agendas, covert agendas, even New World Order, is really about manipulating people's consciousness. Because if you can control how a person thinks, it doesn't matter how derogatory you may be towards them. You can pass certain laws, but if you have their mind in control, it doesn't even matter. They won't even think about it critically. They're like, wait a minute, that's not in my best interest. You know, NAFTA, okay? You know, North American Union, right? You know, all these things that have happened are coming down the line. If you already have people's mind programmed to accept it, then it's not even going to matter. All you got to do is pass a law and it'll go along with the agenda. So these occult figures are really used to manipulate people's consciousness so that they're not thinking about things that are important. And here's an example of what I mean. The day that they announced that Michael Jackson had gone into cardiac arrest, that was the first thing. Then they said he had a heart attack. But they hadn't announced that he had actually passed away. So, I get on the freeway, and I'm going down to storage, and, you know, I'll turn on the radio because I wanted to hear what was the news. And, what I noticed was, people, you know, there's a whole bunch of people on the freeway, but when they had made the announcement that Michael Jackson had passed away, everything changed. People started driving slower. You know, we're on the freeway, and people driving, and they weren't conscious of it. What happened was, when they heard the news, they were impacted by it, by someone they had never even known, that the energy, their own personal energy, the energy in their car, had devolved to such a degree that they began to unconsciously act out a certain kind of emotion, and it manifested itself with driving slower. And it got even to the point where I would look inside people's cars, and these people's faces were sad. So they had been manipulated by hearing that Michael Jackson had passed. And what was deep was, on the way back home, I started to notice how not only were people still driving slower, but people were running into each other. You know, and I'm not talking about, like, you know, a car accident and then you drive down 10 more miles. I'm talking about, like, you know, 4 miles and then 2 miles is another accident and 3 miles is another accident. And that's all relevant because that would not have happened unless the person, had the announcement not came over the airwaves that Michael Jackson had passed away, that would not have happened. It happened because the people who heard that were manipulated. Their consciousness were manipulated. So they were focused on something that had nothing to do with them or what they were doing. They were driving a car, but they weren't thinking about driving a car. They were thinking about someone that they didn't even know.
Exactly. So shortly after he died, I was sorry to cut you off. I saw his picture everywhere. Yeah, the songs everywhere. On the TV channels everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I just could see that, yeah, they want us in this vibrational state of dead guy. He's dead. Oh, my God. Michael!
Right, right, right. Now, on a soul level, right, we recognize that a soul has passed. You know, and on a soul level, we're all connected anyway. So on that, we sympathize. But in terms of that being used, his death being used to lower the vibrational state on the planet, that is a form of manipulation. And what was even more deep was, there was radio shows that were like political radio shows that I was flipping through because I was trying to get different perspectives on, you know, his passing. And even the political radio shows, they were playing Michael Jackson songs, right? And so not only are people's consciousness manipulated by his passing, purposefully manipulated, but then the programming comes back in as the songs are being played over and over again. Beat it, beat it, beat it, over and over again. Thriller, over and over again. All these songs are deeper than just what we've been taught. The official story, all of this is much more deeper, and it's about manipulating people's consciousness to accept things that really, if they knew on a conscious level what these symbols and so these different subliminals meant, they would have cast it away long time ago. But because they're encoded in a certain kind of way, people will accept it as entertainment, and then they will be programmed by it. And that's what's being done with Michael Jackson. You hear Michael Jackson songs all over the radio and so forth, and that is just a reprogramming. 25 years later, after Beat It came out, they get to reprogram this this next successive generation with more beat it, beat it, beat it, which really means masturbate, masturbate, masturbate. Matter of fact, if I could just say this, when I was in school, when I was younger, I may have been in sixth or seventh grade, I had a friend named Weldon, and he used to always make these jokes, and he used to say, Lennon, I know you've been beating it. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, beating it. I said, well, what are you talking about? Because I had no idea what he was talking about. He was talking about masturbate, but I couldn't put that together in terms of what that meant as it relates to Michael Jackson's song Beat It. Later on, when I started to announce it, I went, wait a minute, my friend, on a subconscious level, he knew, and there are a lot of people who knew when they heard that something didn't feel right, something didn't sound right about that song for whatever reason, but they couldn't fix it out on a conscious level. Later on, when you really think about it, you do an announcement, you realize, hey, now I know why it's right with me.
I was 4 years old once, and there were pictures of me wearing the red jacket, because I love the Thriller. I used to watch it every day for about a year. I don't know. We'll be back to you. Stick around, everybody. More insights coming your way. Lennon, what are your thoughts on those that think that you can't criticize or you're stepping on the dead or demonizing the dead? What do you think about those individuals in our society? They're very get very hoity-toity, like, oh, huffy-puffy, by pointing out some of the obvious stuff that people have been talking about for years. You didn't make this video after Michael Jackson passed. You made it before. So why do you think it is that it's hard for some people to look at this stuff just because someone passed, that all of a sudden they're now up on a pedestal? And how is it that we're you go ahead.
Yeah, part of it is programming, but one of the things that is really important, I think, for people to understand is that if they actually saw the film, they realize that I don't actually criticize Michael Jackson per se. One of the things that I think is very important for people to understand that the entertainment industry is not what it appears. That the people who seem to be in control, they're not the ones who are in control. Just like in politics, most people think Obama.
Well, it's not that we're demonizing anybody. We're just pointing out some things that we've seen.
Yeah, and it's one thing, demonize. That's just a strong word. Really, is it okay to criticize someone? The reality is that yes, we need to be critical. Matter of fact, part of our indoctrination has been to not think critically, and if that means that you have to call out for what they've done or what they're doing, if it's family, friends, or someone that you don't even know, like Michael Jackson, then so be it. But that doesn't mean that you're trying to defile that person as a soul per se. That just means that you call out, if it's for the better of humanity, then you call out the different levels of manipulation. So, one could say that when someone dies, we shouldn't speak about them anymore, or we shouldn't be critical of them. But that pays into this idea that we are not supposed to be critical. That if someone has done something wrong, then once they pass away, that we're not supposed to sit back and analyze what they've done wrong. If in fact, analyzing what they've done will help people, then it needs to be done. But we can't just sit back and, idol worship, put someone on that type of a pedestal to where we can't actually think critically about what they've done. Another thing, too, I should mention is that I do not personally believe that Michael Jackson wrote that song to have that type of level of subliminal suggestion. What I believe is that the people who actually put the video footage together for the actual video, they were able to manipulate the song in certain ways to where they can actually make it on a subliminal level suggest certain things like male group homosexual masturbation. So that's another thing for people to think about. And again, in the analysis, I do not, at no point do I defile Michael Jackson as a soul. I just basically mentioned how he was used, by a certain system to perpetuate a certain kind of agenda. And in that particular song, the agenda is really the promotion of subliminal manipulation of the sexual psyche of children to accepting a homosexuality, and then on a deeper level, pedophilia.
I want to now go in another direction, now that we have about 30 minutes left, pertaining to the spiritual nature of man, some of your perceptions on things, the idea of a creator above gods. And I see a world, Lennon, a world I live in, where people are very quick to worship gods, but don't want to fully open their minds to an idea of illusionary gods perhaps working in this matrix, working in this five-sense third-dimensional reality, or perhaps there could be something above that that's even higher than what they think is the ultimate creationary energy. Your thoughts on this, because it plays into the confusion that a lot of people are in. Who am I? What am I? What's going on here on this planet?
Yeah, and again, it all goes back to the manipulation of consciousness. If, in fact, you can get human beings to believe that they are weak beings, that they have no say and no power in terms of you know, creating the kind of world they want to create, then that is to the benefit of those who wish to control human beings. So if you can give them a certain religious ideology that makes men bow down to other men or women bow down to other men inside of a church, which is done quite often, then you basically have manipulated that those persons' minds to the degree that if they will bow down to something, you know, that I don't want to say ridiculous, but if they can bow down to something that is really not much more powerful than they are, then they would be willing to bow down to anything. Like, it's just like, let me give you an example, because usually examples work better. One of the things I think about, because I've always been the kind of person that I just like to think critically about, like, people's relationships, whether it is a male and a female's relationship with each other, or the man's relationship to his children, or so forth. Like, I always think about the relationship between things. So what I often think about is what is the true relationship between human beings and a so-called God? And if we look at, you know, pretty much most religions across the board, there's always this exchange where human beings have to do certain things to appease these gods. And it's like throughout time you see this happen. And when I just ask critical, like simple critical, but they're critical questions, like, you know, if God is all powerful, then what business does it need me to do something for it? You know, Alex, if you're all powerful, then why would you need me to do anything for you? Like, it makes absolutely no sense. So what I realize is that the only reason why, you know, it's supposedly, you know, if you can look at different religious doctrine, that, you know, human beings are supposed to do these things for these gods, whether it's pray to these gods or service to these gods or sacrifice to these gods or to spread the words of these gods. All these different things are really about human beings doing something for these gods. Well, if these gods are all powerful, why don't they just do it for themselves? Are they, you know, like I even think, like, okay, what, are they lazy or what? And it's not that they're lazy, you know, if you want to look at it in terms of, like, a reality beyond what we experience. It's not that they're lazy, it's just they are limited. They don't have the power to actualize certain kinds of things. So what I've realized is that there are indeed gods, right? That's fine. Okay, people can praise those gods. But those gods are not the creator. The creator is unlimited. It does not ask us for anything because it doesn't need us for anything. The gods, however, in their limited nature, they need human beings to do certain things. And part of the reason why they need us to do things is because they are, in fact, limited. So prayer, service, and sacrifice is really a form of technology to where human beings transfer their psychic and spiritual power over to some other external force, and then that external force is supposed to make manifest what really human beings should be manifesting for themselves in the first place. We have already been given by the one creator everything that we need to create the world that we want. But if we continuously give that power away, it's just like the same thing with politics. People want Obama to do for them things that they should do for themselves. Obama cannot make a man raise his child. Right, Obama cannot make a woman raise her child. Obama cannot fix a relationship with a man. Those are things that we have to do for ourselves. But if we project them or project that energy that we should be using to fix our situation, we project it onto Obama, then, you know, we lose out on our power. And then who's to say that Obama's going to do anything for us in the first place? And what I found is that many of the gods that ask for service and prayer and sacrifice do not have human beings' best interests at heart. How could you? How could anyone have someone else's best interest at heart when they ask them to give me your power? Okay? Alex, give me your power because I have your best interest at, no, that's not, you know, it's illogical. It makes absolutely no sense. So part of our manipulation in terms of why, in fact, the New World Order is able to function as it has on the planet is because there's so many human beings who are giving away their power, just on so many different levels, whether it is giving their power over to the state. you know, every time someone signs their child over with a birth certificate, they don't realize that they're actually placing their child into a system of slavery that is ruled by the state. Right, this is information that I didn't learn until after I had my first two children. So when I reflect back, I realize I made a mistake on that. But from that point on, I realized, wait a minute, I'm not going to give that level of power away to the state. No, my children should be sentient beings. They should be able to operate without these kinds of restrictions imposed upon them by the state. And, you know, it all ties back into, you know, how what in fact birth certificates are. So this all goes to say that part of the reality that we are dealing with on this planet is much more complex than what we've been told by certain religions, and purposely we have not been told this because it limits our power.
And the quest for freedom from the oppressive state is in itself a spiritual journey. We're all on it, my friends. Now we have a break. When we come back, we're going to take a phone call. Charles in Portland.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Okay, before we go to Charles, I was going to have Lennon actually finish his thought because he was actually onto something there. Lennon, go ahead.
Yeah, we were just talking. One of the film series that I have on my website and on my YouTube account, LennonHonorFilms.com, is the series is called The Creator Series, and there's three films in that series, and each one kind of gets a little bit deeper into the hierarchical structure in the universe. So this is more speaking on a metaphysical reality, but what I found, like Alex, you said something very important, that people, because many people think that, you know, in terms of the struggles that we're dealing with on, you know, on the planet, when we talk about the New World Order or, you know, Illuminati networks or pyramids, whatever people want to call it, different names for it, but many people have this misconception that it is all physical. But the reality is that it's much more complex than that, because there are indeed other forces at work that have influence on the lives, not only of our lives, but also the lives of the people who seek to control us. And part of the reason why these people seek to control us is because they are, in fact, controlled. And the manipulation networks of control, it's a trickle-down effect from higher realms all the way down to what we're dealing with now. So this is to say that it's important that we have a balanced perspective as to what's transpiring on the planet, because within that balance, we can figure out and strategize, you know, more efficiently in terms of how we're going to overcome certain kinds of structures that are in place on the planet.
Okay. I want to talk to you a little bit after we talk to Charles about the concept of demonic possession. It's something I think about a lot, about people being taken over by an energy other than their own consciousness, when they allow themselves to be susceptible for that energy to walk right in. But before we get into that, we'll talk to Charles. Hello.
Hi, Alex.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alex. I just had a quick question/comment for your guest. I don't know if he's seen it, or maybe if you've seen it, Alex. There was a commercial recently from Burger King that had a SpongeBob SquarePants tie-in to it, and also Sir Mix-a-Lot was in it. You know, Baby Got Back, Sir Mix-a-Lot. And the commercial, it has women dancing to Sir Mix-a-Lot, and SpongeBob's dancing, and they're wearing like booty shorts, and they're sticking they're in the doggy style position, you know, sticking their behind out. When I saw that commercial, I'm a pretty fairly liberal guy, and I, you know, have a high tolerance for cheese and, you know, bad taste, but I just about fell out of my chair because I have, you know, two boys, and they're old now, almost, one's an adult, one's almost an adult. But if I would have had a little girl, and or even, I guess, a little boy, too, watching that at the time,
it's almost like the rape of human consciousness, and it goes on all the time. And so that example, the Burger King, that was one that was more blatant because, you know, it was so outrageous. I mean, it was really, they were projecting these little girls as adults, and they were dancing and dancing these provocative ways, and they had their backsides padded up, and even the camera angles and the different shots and the different innuendos that were present, it really spoke to the sexualization of these little girls. You know, and that's deep to me because really what that, I have a concept that I work with, it's called the pedophilic projection of the child as an adult, and this is what pedophiles use to legitimize the rape and sodomization of children. If you can make the child look like an adult or behave like an adult, then in your mind you can rationalize raping them per se. And these are deep topics. The film that I really deal with that in is called The Early Works of Walt Disney, and also Demons in the Outfield, and that's on my website as well. But yes, the thing I just wanted the caller to really think about was, let's just think in terms of about all of the other commercials that are out there, or movies or shows that do the same thing but are far less egregious. You know, it's more on a subliminal level where it's not so out front. You know, there's so much more. And this is to say that we can be amazed at how gratuitous. Let me backtrack. Let me give you an example of what I mean. There's things that I see now that, say 5 years ago, if I saw it then, I would not be aware of. Like, it would just pass my mind. But once I start to really think about things critically and start to analyze things, then when something comes my way, I'm able to perceive it on a different kind of level. And then once you begin to see these things for what they are, like this commercial, you were right. You not only did it not feel right, but you recognized that in terms of what was being projected was something that was negative and destructive, and it was manipulation of consciousness. You not only were you able to see that, but it also you're also able to take that a step further in your evolution in terms of being able to perceive these things, because now when you see something else that may be a little bit more subliminal, you'll be able to pick it up. And this, it's a process, and I call it a process of reclaiming our sight. There are people, and I'm just being honest, who have seen that commercial and they thought nothing of it. You know, and they let their children watch it, and then they go buy a Burger King afterwards. You know, so when we talk about the level of manipulation, part of our manipulation has been to manipulate not only human consciousness, but our ability to perceive things for what they are. Once we begin to start to look at things and be able to figure out what they really mean, then we begin to see things for what they are. And then from that point on, we're able to perceive reality on ever-growing levels of complexity. And for you to see that as a father, this is what I mean. As men, we have a responsibility to do that. For instance, I'm sure that if your children were young and your daughter was in the room or your son was in the room and that came on, because you have an awareness of what was really being shown, you would have been like, okay, I'm either going to turn this off or my children are going to have to be excused from this, because you are protecting your children's consciousness from this level of manipulation. That is one of the primary responsibilities of all fathers, and I believe that all men should really look at that critically in terms of our roles within family structures. We have an obligation to protect not only our families physically, but also protect the consciousness of our family, and in particular, the consciousness of our children.
Well, thank you, Charles, for calling in and bringing that up.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Oh, by the way, we're going to have Lennon on for a half hour to maybe an hour to talk about a condensed version of what we talked about today. Not this Thursday. Leon Legant will be with us, and we'll be talking about the spiritual nature of reality from his perspective. We'll have Lennon on the week after that, so I believe that's going to be on the I'm not sure exactly what date that is, but I'll get that information to all you guys later on. And we have a break coming up. In the next segment, Lennon, I was thinking about if you could explain to me how you're defining demonic possession, and in that, you know, 8-minute conclusionary segment, your thoughts on taking ourselves to a higher state of consciousness, a higher state of awareness. But in brief, what video do you have on your site that addresses that issue, or is that in the Creator video?
In part the Creator series, but the one that really deals with that is it's a breakdown of Brianna's Umbrella, which is all about demonic possession, and that film is called The Workings of Evil, and then I have a second addition to that called The Workings of Evil Revisited, and that's on my website as well.
You got into all this how long ago? About 4 years? 3 years?
Well, in terms of doing analysis, it's been about a year.
It's been about a year.
Growing, Yeah, but in terms of me growing, like, my consciousness, it's, you know, of course, all, you know, for the, you know, my whole existence, but in terms of really starting to think critically, it goes back to, you know, even when I first started watching your shows, that was kind of like when you really first, you know, like baby steps for me. Like, when I heard what you were talking about then, it was, on some levels, I was like, okay, this guy is nuts, you know? But it wasn't until I came into a level of consciousness that I realized, wait a minute, this guy was actually speaking the truth.
Happening globally. I think there, a lot of us are shifting our consciousness. We're just starting to see different pieces of it. Okay, we have another phone call that came in. We'll briefly take that and then get an overview on the possession element angle in the next segment. Stay with us, everybody.
Exploring the Matrix of Consciousness with Esoteric Action Radio. Sundays from 9 to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Only on Oracle Broadcasting. LennonHonorFilms.com, LennonHonor Films.com. That's where you can find him. You can find his Facebook. You can find his YouTube. You can find out how to contact Lennon. Great stuff. And we're going to get his response on the question I gave earlier. But briefly, Mo, we're going to go ahead and take your phone call. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for the great guest today. And I want to know his response. Nation of Islam gave a mention was $25,000 worth, but gave him $400,000 per month. Can you please do you know about that? I strongly believe Nation of because he became Muslim in Dubai. I strongly think because of he has you know, lot of problems behind him. Nation of Islam killed him. What do you think of that?
Okay, and killed who?
Nation of Islam. I mean, because all his bodyguards were Muslims, and so basically the mention that's supposed to be the good value, $25,000 a month, but they rented to him $100,000 per month.
Well, Mo, we might not be able to answer that today because it's a little bit off topic. We're going a little bit deeper than that. But go ahead, Lennon, if you can't answer that. If not, we'll get back to the other stuff.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't sure who he was referring to. I know he had mentioned that the nation had something to do, but I wasn't sure. I didn't catch the person or individual he was talking
nation
about.
Nation of Islam. Do you think that Nation of Islam killed him? Do you think there was a conspiracy?
We don't know who you're talking about. Are you talking about Malcolm X?
No, Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan. Louis Farrakhan, the head of the Nation of Islam.
Well, yes.
Yeah, I'm not, again, who? Did they kill who?
Well, Mo, we're going to have to talk to you another day. It's not really clear, Lennon. I think he was talking about conspiracies, though, coming from the Nation of Islam, perhaps them being a controlled group used to assassinate other growing political figures, which has been suggested over the years.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wasn't too who he was referencing, though, in terms of who the Nation of Islam had killed or assassinated or you know, I wasn't sure if he was talking about Michael Jackson or Malcolm X. I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, Mo, do you have a name?
Yes.
And don't say Nation of Islam this time. Say a name.
Louis Farrakhan and his buddy, all his bodyguards were Muslim. How come they knew? I mean, they did not take care of. I mean, why they robbed
Mo,
him?
Mo, give us a name. Give us a name, Mo. You call me every day. Come on, you know how this works. Give us a name. Who is Farrakhan still alive? He wasn't assassinated. Who was assassinated, Mo?
I mean, it was a conspiracy to kill Michael Jackson, because he was Muslim.
Sir, Michael Jackson. Okay, Lennon, Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Now, I'm not sure if the Nation of Islam was, you know, used for this or any other group. What I do know is that the official story does not add up. Just like 9-1-1 didn't add up, and questions need to be raised. And there's a lot about, Michael Jackson's death. It just doesn't. It not only does it not make logical sense, but it also just doesn't feel right. And that's what I can say.
Yeah, that's how I feel as well. And I feel the same way about David Carradine. How would you like to conclude the show here with 5 minutes left in light of what we talked about? Certainly a lot of people are starting to perceive reality differently, that there's a lot of energy here on the planet, and that we have to protect ourselves, our minds, and raise our spirits. No doubt. This time is highly significant.
Yes, it is. And that's one of the powerful things, and this goes back, it's interesting when you talk about synchronicity, because this all goes back to what I initially said, just how when we begin the process, the people that help us along the way, you end up running into, like, just me even talking to you right now, like, this is like a major thing for me. You know, we haven't talked before and we haven't sat down and chatted or anything, but just when I think about my own evolution and the evolution of my consciousness, I know that one of the initiating forces was hearing your show all those years ago. We're talking about years ago. So just when we talk about how we all have to evolve our consciousness on certain kinds of levels, we have to start somewhere, and we have to be persistent and consistent, and over time we continue to evolve our consciousness. And what happens is, as we go through the process, through synchronicity and just through the, you know, just in terms of our vibrational state, we begin to not only attract people that are like-minded, but we also begin to build with people that are like-minded. And this is an excellent example, just me being able to talk with you today, of how that works. And this is encouraging to people, because one of the things that happens is, when you begin to step outside of the box, per se, outside of the matrix, or what I call the superstructure, there are so many people and forces that will try to pull you back in and try to keep you on lockdown. But what has to happen is you have to be diligent and continue to evolve your consciousness. People will call you crazy. They will say that you're insane or that you're reading into things too much. But ultimately, you have to have within yourself a commitment to asking the critical questions and the curiosity, and then the motivation and drive to see it through. And that's really what my work is about, is just to help people to begin that process. And I by no means have found the end-all, be-all, but I figured in the process, while I'm doing that, why not help people along the way? So I also want to encourage people to check out my website, linenhonorfilms.com. All my films are there. You can also order my films there. And then I also have a YouTube account, Linen Honor Films, as well. And that's LENONHONORFILMS.
Well, it was great having you on, and I'm looking forward to talking with you again the Thursday after this Thursday on the cable TV show I do in Portland, and that's going to reach even more people than we reach today. Thousands of people will be watching that show because it's on cable TV, and so there's going to be a lot of voices out there, people in the audience, they're going to want to hear this stuff. And I appreciate you going where you're going with this, trying to break new ground instead of just rehash over the same old, which is what the majority does. But you're coming up with some new stuff, and you said you've been doing this stuff less than a year. I'm curious to see what you come up with by next year.
Yeah. And that's the amazing thing. We think that we have a certain purpose, you know, on why we chose to manifest on this earth. And we may work towards that purpose, but then we realize that we actually had a calling that was far greater than that. And that's how this whole film thing has transpired. And that's how you know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, because it unfolds so organically. I remember you used the term earlier, it's just an organic experience, and that's really what has taken place. And again, I want to thank you for having me, and even just you know, to even consider me as a guest. Like, I am honored. And my wife, she's the one that really was like, yeah, you need to come check this guy out, like years and years ago. And she made a point to she ordered me to tell you thank you for all the work that you did, and then also to tell you hi. Let me just tell you one thing. One of the things I remember back in the day was when we would watch a show, and there would be people that would call in, and sometimes people they would call in, and instead of talking about what you were talking about, they would just make comments about you. And I remember there was this one lady, she was like, yeah, you're doing such a one thing, and you're just so handsome, you know, and how you react to that just as a man, that was very profound to me, because you dealt with it as a man would deal with it. And you know, when I saw that, it resonated with me, because some men would have been like ego trip, like, oh yeah, I am handsome and so forth, but you were like, really, you dealt with it like diplomatically, and I just remember that in particular, because that was really what kind of like made me really kind of look at you on a different kind of level. I suppose, yeah, this is another guy just doing his thing. But I really, like, seriously, I just want to make this clear to people that it's amazing how things come back around, and here I am talking to someone who had a profound effect on me years ago in terms of the evolution of my consciousness, and now actually I'm on his show. And this can happen, and it's not that I'm special or anything like that. This can happen for anyone so long as they fulfill their spiritual obligations, and for me, it happened to be to do some films. So who knows what someone who's listening, you may have something that you're supposed to contribute to humanity, and by doing that, you will be on his show as well.
Lennon, I want to thank you for saying that, because my life isn't easy. Things are actually kind of rushed right now, and to hear that come back around, you know, really makes me think about some stuff, because I even tend to get into all the, you know, negative mindset of, it's just not working. You know, I'm just not changing. But no, we really are reaching out.
Yes.
All right, well, we'll talk again, Lennon. Thank you for coming on. Thank you very much. Thursday after next, we'll talk
again. Yeah, my pleasure, man. Take care.
All right.
And again, thanks to Glenn at CascadiaPublicRadio.org, who not only serves up Media Monarchy and the Corbett Report and Ground Zero Lounge and Alan Watt, Wayne Madsen, Webster Tarpley, on and on and on and on. Actually, if you just subscribe to Glenn's feed on RadioForAll.net, that'll pretty much cover you for all your alternative radio news needs.